grew up a Yankee fan.
Pitch hit in the air to right. Cutting toward the line is Betts in the corner. I can't see where what happened. I honestly don't know.
That's interference. Got to be. The fan took the ball out of his hand. He's out.
See, if the ball goes in the corner, the stands that jut out take away our view.
Well, he's got the ball, and a fan took it right out of his glove. You can see it. He's got his glove in his hand. The fan in a Yankee uniform is prying the ball out of Mookie's glove. This guy should be kicked out of this game.
I couldn't agree more.
Oh, my goodness.
He's allowed a route, and that's all. I couldn't agree more.
He physically opened up Mookie's glove as he was trying to get the glove back. You don't want to lose your glove. And he took the ball out of his glove.
John Sterling and Susan Waldman from last night's World Series game. The Yankees win. They trail 3-1 in the series.
Good thing Mookie had to hold on to the glove, because that fan might have just took off with it.
Yeah. There's a Sports Illustrated writer I follow and like, Yankee fan. He refers to John and Susan as Ma and Pa Pinstripe, which is pretty funny.
That's good.
And said like they were incredulous at this call. The guy, there's a catch over by the sideline. Betts makes the catch, and this guy opens up the glove, wrenches it open, and pulls the ball out. And Betts, you know, Betts in the NFL, that wouldn't be a catch. I don't think he completed the act of making the catch.
In football, they might not have called it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Just a foul ball. Where's Gene Steratore for a ruling? Gene, what did you see here? Did Mookie Betts have control of this ball? Anyway.
I can't believe you think this guy got a lifetime ban.
Lifetime ban?
There's no way.
Yankee Stadium.
No way he's banned for life from Yankee Stadium. I don't think. His buddy was ejected too, by the way. His buddy was grabbing, if you watch it, his buddy's grabbing Betts' other wrist. Like, Betts is trying to reach up with his right hand to get his left hand back, and his buddy's grabbing Betts' right hand. Yeah, maybe they both should get lifetime ban. I don't think they're going to.
Lifetime ban. You're the kind of person that can sit in the front row.
Uh-huh.
You can afford that ticket, which is probably, what, $3,000? And you're going to physically reach and grab a player? Lifetime ban.
Mm-hmm.
Should it not be a lifetime ban?
No, it should be. I just don't believe that the Yankees would do it. Someone up there loved it.
How many people have received lifetime bans from sporting events?
It's probably happened more than you think. I always wonder how well you enforce that, though.
Right, you could make it so if anybody sees you at a game, you go to, you know.
But if there's 70,000 people, like, how do you? It's tough. I feel like it would be tough.
Facial technology and
yeah, blah, I guess blah, it'd blah. Be easier now.
It's the best I've got for you. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Interesting responses to I didn't put it in a poll form. Maybe I should have put a poll on it. Do you think Bills fans care more about the MVP race than any other fan base?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no?
I think it's probably yes. Who would even be second right now? Baltimore doesn't care about it because they already have two.
Right.
Kansas City does not care about it. I don't think. You mentioned like the Lions. I think the Lions, like, I don't know. Maybe that would be a good second choice. Do like the Eagles fans care about Jalen Hurts winning MVP or something? Like,
one response I got was, this is how it was in Philly with Embiid. They wanted him to win the MVP.
Yeah.
Wanted it to be validated that this is one of the best players, most important players in the sport. So someone wrote in that. There are a couple responses. And I find this interesting, too, about do you think Bills fans care more? This isn't a would you rather have it. This isn't an either or. It's just do you think Bills fans care more about the MVP race than other fan bases? And a lot of the answers are yes. And some of the answers are yes, and it's bizarre that we've all hitched our wagon to it so much. It is constant, the talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's often. It's because he doesn't have one. If he had one, it wouldn't be like this, right?
I don't know. Once he gets one, isn't this going to be about, well, he's got to get match Lamar.
Is that what a Chiefs fan is doing right now with Mahomes and Brady?
Trying to track down Brady?
Is there a GOAT race? Is that all they care about right now? Is, hey, we got to get – Mahomes has got to be the GOAT. And how does he do that? Well, one, you're going to need the Super Bowls, yes, but pass him in MVPs. Get more MVPs than him. You're already almost there, right? Mahomes has two.
Yeah.
And Brady has three for his career. So maybe a Chief fan is second. Maybe they do care, even though Mahomes already has two because they're chasing 12. Mahomes is chasing Brady to be the best of all time. And maybe they do care about it that much.
So a couple responses.
What about a Niners fan for Brock Purdy?
I don't think so, right?
Isn't he another one of these? Everyone doesn't think he's any good.
That one's a real one. People say he's not that good. He was also Mr. Irrelevant, not drafted seventh.
Right, so wouldn't they be like, MVP will give him all the credit he finally deserves?
Yeah, you might have a little bit there.
Yeah.
Drew writes in, I think it's more about perceived disrespect. We get upset about power rankings, game picks, anything else where we can feel undervalued. We know Josh and what he stands on. We love him, and like a group of offensive linemen, we are always out to protect and defend him.
Right.
Mark writes in, yes, and it's horrible.
Okay. Uh-huh. That's it? Just it's horrible?
Yes, and it's horrible. Aaron, no doubt, it's also very aggravating when we watch a player get the award who clearly didn't deserve it. Kevin writes in.
When's the last time that happened?
That a player got it and didn't deserve it?
A player clearly didn't deserve it. Like, even you could have voted for somebody else last year, but like Lamar Jackson didn't deserve it at all. Mahomes 2 years ago. I will say this. I don't know when the last example of that is. If Mahomes won it this year, throwing more interceptions than touchdowns, and their offense looking like this, then I might get there. If he won it this year with those types of numbers. But like the last time, I'm looking at the list. When Mahomes won it, he threw 50 touchdowns. When Rodgers won it over Allen.
48 touchdowns?
He had 48 touchdowns and like five picks. Like, Adrian Peterson was a running back, but he ran for 2,000 yards off a torn ACL. Like, I don't want to say he didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
I don't know what you would point at. It's like the last time, like, oh yeah, that dude, what a joke that dude won MVP.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with Lamar winning it last year. I had a big problem with him being treated as if the fact that he wasn't unanimous was some sort of affront to the process.
Right, that was ridiculous.
Like, you could have a case. You'll make the case you thought it was Lamar over Josh. I'll listen to it. I can't listen to the idea that every person alive should have that take or they're wrong.
Right. Yeah.
Which is
your bias, basically.
Right, which is ultimately what happened. One guy voted against Lamar and didn't even really vote against him, just voted for somebody else, and that was, well, this is terrible. It's kind of like the Josh overrated conversation that's happened. 11 NFL players said they thought he was overrated. 11 NFL players. That's it. 11.
Mm-hmm.
And those players might think he's the second best quarterback or the fourth best quarterback in football. I feel like that whole thing got spun up and, you know, we all jumped on that. Everybody went nuts for that. Follow up, by the way, as we get a call in here on the MVP. The Yankees fans have been told they're allowed back in their seats tonight.
I knew it. I knew it. Of course they are. They didn't leave that. Maybe they did leave the stadium last night. They didn't even lifetime ban. They didn't even get a 24-hour ban.
No, they're just allowed back
in
for Game 5.
They're going to be back in that stadium within 24 hours.
Absolute joke organization.
Wow, I'm not surprised, but that is amazing. They're back for Game 5.
They're back for Game 5.
Are they going to be sitting in the same seats?
I would assume.
Wow. How many camera pans to those two fans?
The game is about them tonight.
The game is about them, yes.
Oh, there's a ball down the right sideline, down the first baseline. Let's see if our guys are...
What's his name? Capo Bianco?
Yeah.
You know, watch out for Capo Bianco on the right field wall.
Yeah, playing the first baseline. He said, quote, I know when I'm in the wrong, and as soon as I did it, I was like, boys, I'm out of here. I patrol that wall, and they know that. Is this guy trying to say he's normally the justice on that wall to prevent fans from doing what he did?
That's his wall. That's his wall in his mind. That's my wall. You don't come to my wall and make catches.
Brian in Southwest Florida. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. I'm a transient Buffalonian. I live down here in Cape Coral, Fort Myers. So it's a great question, Jeremy, but what I think you got to ask yourself is who are you really asking that question to? So it depends on who answers. If I answer, I'm 48 years old. I've experienced when I was my kid's age all four Super Bowl losses, so I know the heartache. You ask a kid like my 18-year-old son who's sitting next to me while I'm driving to school this morning, he's a diehard Bills fan. He's born in Buffalo, lives down here now with me, but he doesn't know the pain of the Super Bowl loss. So he'll take the Super Bowl. I already asked him. He'll take the Super Bowl. I'll take with you the MVP because I don't want to have to defend a fifth Super Bowl loss down here. I live out of market, so defending a fifth Super Bowl loss is it's crazy. It would be nuts. So I'm with you.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like I'm thinking about talking to Howard here on the Mets, how the further they went, he was good. He was fine. He was at peace. And maybe if you go to a World Series with it where it's Mets-Yankees, all of a sudden you're more afraid of it than you are excited about it. And if the Bills go to the Super Bowl, like I don't – the generation of fans like you, Brian, where – I mean, I didn't live in Buffalo and I didn't root for the Bills when they were in their four Super Bowls. I apologize, I rooted against them a couple times. But by the fourth one, I'm like Rocky IV. By the fourth one, I was on the Bills. Mm-hmm. I wanted them to win that one. I can remember as a kid switching sides. I mean, like, let's mm-hmm. go Bills. So I don't have the – my heart was ripped out of my chest that a lot of – the few people that are my age
right.
that watch the Bills have. So if they made it, I wouldn't be thinking about me. I wouldn't be thinking about, I don't know if I'll be able to take it if they lose a fifth.
Yeah, it wouldn't. I'm not alive for the first four Super Bowls. So like, I just don't even, it doesn't even register for me at
right.
all.
I wouldn't be at bothered all. By the Bills stands for Boy, I Love Losing Super Bowls joke that everybody heard made for 30 years. Like,
yeah.
It would be the first one where I was invested where they lost. And I do understand how that would scare people off. Like, I mean, how many people say it all the time? Where you're a Yankee fan. I'd rather they lost to Cleveland than go to the World Series and get swept. I saw that comment from, I mean, Evan, who produces here at WGR, he said it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Yankee fan. I'd rather they lost to Cleveland than get swept.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want to go as far as you go, and then, you know, you end up getting hit by the pain. Like, I wish I didn't feel this.
Yeah. I just want to feel what the week is like leading up to it, or the 2 weeks leading up to it. That's why I would 100 times out of 100 vote for the Super Bowl loss. In a vacuum, like, the MVP is cool, but give me 2 weeks of build-up to the Super Bowl. Like, sure, we'll see how the game goes, but yeah, it never would ever come to my mind about the fifth Super Bowl loss. I know it would be five Super Bowl losses. That would be the record, by the way. Minnesota doesn't have a five. They have four, also, maybe. Like, I guess you could care about that, but
the Patriots have the most.
Super Bowl losses?
Yeah, five.
That's funny.
Broncos, too. They both have five.
Yeah. I just wouldn't worry about it at all. I'm worried that people are going to make fun of the 90s again. Basically, is what that is.
There's part of that.
It's an ability to bring back up the old wounds, is what it is. So I guess I do understand it, but just anyone of my age, I don't think is going to be thinking about it.
803-0550 if you want to join us in 1-888-550-2550. It's Bills and Dolphins this week. Looking ahead to Bills Colts, Anthony Richardson to the bench for Joe Flacco.
Yes. Don't you think it is 100%? It definitely has to do with what happened on Sunday.
Taking himself out for a very long third and whatever?
Yeah. I don't know. Strange coincidence. And
it really might be a strange coincidence, because if you've been watching them play, Flacco gives them a better chance to win games.
He does.
And they're going on the road to Minnesota this week.
Yeah. But what's your goal this year? What are you trying to do? You're trying to squeak in the playoffs with
Joe Flacco? You're trying to win games, man. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to win games. You're Shane Steichen in your second year as a head coach, and you're trying to win games. And you could say, my number one thing I got to do is find out if my quarterback is good enough. But if you are also, like, how's that working for the Giants right now? Continued dedication to finding out if Daniel Jones is good enough.
They're into year six.
That's right.
Of that.
That's right.
The Colts haven't made it through half a season with Richardson as their quarterback.
I don't think. Well,
this
see.
Is half what EJ Manuel got
for Richardson, because he got right. hurt. In
how many
year
games
one.
Has he played? Seven
the,
games.
The fact he's been hurt as often as he is a mark against him.
That's right.
Availability matters.
Maybe this is the same thing too. I think he's getting benched because the locker room, like, thinks he's a joke right now. That
yeah.
Steichen feels like he has to go to Flacco because his players are going to think it's a clown show if they keep this guy in. He did what? He pulled himself. I'm going to battle every play here, and my quarterback can't stay on the field.
Most of those guys are not going to battle every play.
I know, but
plenty
like,
of guys do come out.
But you
a player
just,
two.
It's different. You don't see quarterbacks ever do that because they're tired. It just doesn't. It doesn't happen. So I wonder if it has to do with the locker room and the players, and how Steichen feels like he's got to manage that situation. And I guess that's kind of the same point, right? Like, if the players don't believe, like, your goal here is to win, and your goal is just, oh, I'm just going to play this guy until, you know, the wheels fall off. They also, by the way, have the longest streak in NFL history of beginning a season without... Every single game has been 1 to 6 points, decided by 1 to 6 points.
Right. And so if they have Flacco in every game, they might have another win.
Right. And that might be why they're doing it, is their players might be thinking that way. Hey, we've got a guy here that gives us a chance to win. What are we doing here?
Well,
let's try to win.
That's about the play on the field and not one play on the field. I don't think it comes down to the incident where he tapped out for one play, which he did, because at the risk of kind of demeaning the whole conversation, I don't think NFL locker rooms are run like First Take. Chase Daniels saying, like, oh, there's a mutiny. Like, maybe not. Maybe not. If there is, it's because he can't find receivers.
Here's the quote from Stephen Holder, from a Colts source. Stephen Holder covers the Colts for The Athletic. The Colts, quote, want Richardson to take a step back, take a break from the pressure of the job, and try to grow during this time.
Right.
That, to me, sounds like they don't think he's an adult.
I mean, that sounds like he can't complete passes. Brian. So they'll play Brian Flores this week, who... Stephen Ruiz had a fun conversation, had a fun point about franchise quarterbacks and is your guy good or is your guy not good?
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Ruiz of The Ringer, he said, I think I might apply my is your quarterback good based on how much respect Brian Flores gives him. Flores, you know, blitzes the hell out of quarterbacks. The Vikings have a very good defense this year. They attack everybody. So Minnesota hosts Indy. Now they're going to get Flacco instead of Anthony Richardson.
Yep.
My view of this is I have Colts fantasy football players. I feel like I can play now because Joe Flacco completes passes, whereas Richardson is very unreliable. Here's Brian Flores on the whole thing. He was asked about Richardson coming off the field on that play.
I know there's been a lot of talk about the play where he came out, but did you watch the play? You know, I mean, that throws a 300-pounder off him. He runs around. I thought it was an incredible play. I mean, our guy got tired watching him. I think he's, you know, a very, very talented young player. He's a dangerous player. I mean, on any snap, he could break a couple tackles and go the distance. He's fast. He's got a huge arm.
So he kind of defends him a little bit. He throws off a 300-pound player. Can I not?
What was the next play, by the way? It was a handoff?
It was a handoff.
Wouldn't he have known that? Wouldn't the coach have told him that?
Right. Normally what would have happened on that play is they would have just called a handoff. He wouldn't have come out. He just handed the ball off to somebody else. Instead,
right,
Joe Flacco came in and handed the ball off. So ultimately, nothing really changed other than the quarterback that handed the ball off on the third down and forever.
Which is why, like, Steichen probably in that moment would have been, hey, dude, like, I'm calling a run play here. We're giving up on the set of downs. Just stay in the game. Don't make this a thing.
But why is it actually a thing?
It's a thing because you never see it.
You're saying what you want him to do is to have a performative handoff to prove that he doesn't... Listen, if you hand the ball off here, you won't lose the locker room? I feel like on that play, the thing that will lose the locker room if you're Anthony Richardson is everybody in film study that week, like, hey, Josh Downs is open and Michael Pittman's right here if you wanted him. You could have taken the shot to Alec Pierce, but instead you ran around for 10 seconds and threw off a lineman and got tackled for no gain.
Yeah.
That loses the locker room more than Flacco handed the ball off on third down.
He also, like, the completion percentage thing is a joke, but if you look at his yards per attempt, he's a higher yards per attempt than Matthew Stafford, Tua, Geno Smith, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott this year. He has almost the same yards per attempt as Stroud, Mahomes, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow. Like,
but he has it in an unsustainable way.
Maybe. Like, he's getting big plays every week.
You can't throw 3 82-yard plays and expect that you're going to win a game with efficiency.
He completed 9 passes for 212 yards, and they lost to the Texans by 3 last week.
One of those was a 69-yard touchdown to Josh Downs.
He throws those.
You have to extend drives. You have to keep your offense on the field. You have to play in structure to some degree.
It would be interesting if we were in Indy and evaluating this quarterback because, yes, he cannot sustain drives, but we've talked about here how much more likely you are to get a scoring play on a drive if you get explosive plays, and this dude is averaging almost 20 yards of completion sometimes. That's what he averaged last week. He leads the league 16 yards per completion on the season. Like, some of these games, last week, he completes 9 passes, 212 yards, averages 24 yards of completion.
What would you think of an offense that was built out of all completions to Gabe Davis? Because that's what that is, right? You think that offense would be good?
I would want more from it, but
it's not
there
good.
Are worse things. They scored 27 points and lost to the Texans by two.
They scored 27 points in part because one of them was a scoop and score.
And, of course, he gives you rushing stuff that Joe Flacco's not going to
get. That he does, too. 803-0550. Gina in Delaware, quickly before the break. Hey, Gina.
Oh, wait. Woo! Hold on. Thank you. Woo! Hi, guys. Ooh, sorry. Thank you. I apologize. It was in another room. Yes, I was calling in because I was weighing in, and I always call myself the Fossil fan. So shout out to that dude in Florida. I got 10 years on him. My parents are right around where he lives in Fort Myers. My point being is, being a Fossil fan, I hear 10 more years than all you youngins of you went four times and never win. And defending that for 10 more years puts a lot of gray on your head. Okay? So before you would have even answered that question, it's not about me. It's about Josh Allen. I'm going to tell you something, and I know y'all would believe me because you know my passion for the Bills. By the way, shout out to Diggs. He doesn't listen, I'm sure. But, man, do I feel for that bro. He loves playing football, guys. He's so passionate. I'd take him back on our team in a heartbeat and let him blend in with all the new friends that we've acquired since he's been gone. But getting back to what I was saying is – my passion for Josh Allen. This morning at 2 a.m., now I'm not much of a social media fan. That's why I get on the phone and call you guys. This is my social media. So thank you for allowing me this opportunity to speak and show my passion to everybody. But this morning I was watching these reels of Mr. Brightside and that one reel when the fans were singing it. You know, if you don't have a heart, you need to watch those videos because you would cry when you see Josh Allen and those bright eyes and the passion he has for Buffalo, for the fans, for the game, for the human being. That DeMar Hamlin video, never saw it. Like the tribute to him makes you want to cry. Bills fans are so passionate and they're selfless and they're unselfish. So, of course, it's Josh Allen every day, all day. Give it to him so because we then will feel through him victory. Thank you so much. Go, Bills. God bless the Bills and God bless Buffalo. Let's go.
Thanks, Gina. Gina in Delaware. Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast joining us on the other side. We'll get his thoughts on the Keon Coleman maybe breakout a little bit game. They did very well in Seattle and next Miami, Indy, and on. So we'll get Joe Marino's thoughts on the state of the Bills right now and the matchup with Miami for a second time. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a call, 803-0550, as Gina just did, and chime in on the Josh Allen MVP conversation. Do you think Bills fans care more about it than any other fan base? Asking that question this morning on WGR.